Property and casualty insurance can be broken down in different ways. Some policies are property insurance only. Some, like auto insurance, are casualty only, and still others contain both property and casualty insurance. Or you could organize the policies by personal lines and commercial lines. Personal lines are like those that you would use for your personal safety, like homeowner's insurance for your house. Commercial lines are used to insure businesses. To make it easier on you, we'll look at each policy separately. But before we get started on that, I should explain where these policies come from. All the policies used for property and casualty insurance start with ISO. That stands for Insurance Services Office. ISO is the standard for property and liability insurance policies. That is, they standardized the format, language, and contents of the policies we use today. You may have noticed that different insurance companies carry different insurance policies. Most insurance companies use the ISO policies as a base to build their own policies. So let's say you work with insurance company A. The coverages you offer for auto insurance are probably different from those covered by company B. What happens if you go to take your exam and the questions are based on company B's policy? That's where ISO steps in again. That way, no matter which company you work with, you will be studying the same information. That makes the playing field more even.
So I'm learning the ISO versions of these policies to pass my exam. But once I start working, the policies I work with may be different?
Exactly. They will be similar to the ISO policies you are learning now, but will probably be personalized by the company. Regardless of the policy form, there are certain basic concepts that remain consistent. Because insurance policies are legal contracts between the insured and the insurance company, they must meet the requirements of being in legal form. There are some slight variations from state to state, but we don't need to worry about that now. We'll start with a very important and basic concept for insurance: insurable interest. Insurable interest is a basic requirement of a property insurance policy. The insured must have a financial interest in the property. This is to avoid the possibility of a person wagering on another's property in which they have no financial interest. The intent of insurance is to indemnify an insured following the loss of or reduction of value of the property insured.
Indemnify. I remember reading that term, but it still confuses me.
That's okay. Indemnify simply means to restore, but not reward, the insured.
It makes more sense when you word it that way. Okay, so the point of property insurance is to provide me, the insured, with protection against things that might reduce the value of my property or even destroy it. And I can only get that insurance if I have insurable interest in the property.
Right. Now that you have insurable interest in your property, you can meet the underwriters. Underwriters are different than agents or producers. Underwriting is a part of the insurance company's operation in which people like you and me decide if applications qualify for insurance. They also determine how much insurance will be allowed at what rate, if any, is allowed at all.
Wow. Okay. So underwriters are people that do the decision-making for the insurance company. Basically, they pick which insurance application to accept and set the limits of insurance and rates, right? So if I'm a bad insurance risk, like someone with a history of big insurance claims, these underwriters are going to do their underwriting and tell the company not to insure me.
You're catching on pretty quick. Let's move on to loss valuation. Following the determination that a loss is a covered loss, the insurance company will state the method of indemnification. In simple language, they will inform you how they plan on paying you back for your damaged property. There are six common methods of loss valuation: actual cash value, replacement cost, market value, agreed value, stated amount, and valued policy.
I remember reading those in my study guide. They all have pretty straightforward names except the last one, valued loss. Can you explain that one?
Policies that pay a specified amount which is not directly related to the extent of loss are valued policies. Life insurance is a good example. Most states have valued policy laws pertaining to property insurance, stating that in the event of a total loss, the insurer must pay the face amount of the coverage.
If you think about it, valued policy is a descriptive name too. It's saying that the insurer will pay the insured the amount that the policy is worth. The face amount, right?
Right. You seem to have property insurance concepts under control. So let's move on to negligence. In casualty insurance, for coverage to apply, the loss to a third party must be unintentional and caused by the negligence of an insured. Negligence is defined as the failure to exercise the care that a reasonable or prudent person would under the same or similar circumstances. Can you give me an example?
Let's see. If I neglect to, say, clear the snow piled up in front of my house and someone comes along and falls, I would be liable for their injuries because of my negligence. But if no one can reasonably expect me to have been able to clear the snow, like if I was out of town, it wouldn't necessarily be considered negligence.
That's the idea. It can get pretty tricky in actual practice, but you understand the concept. Now, before we start discussing policies, we'd better have a good understanding of the policy structure. Every property or casualty policy must be constructed with 6 identifiable parts. First, the declaration states important facts about the coverage, like who is insured, what is insured, when the coverage begins and ends, and where the property is located. Second is the definitions. This part defines words as they are used in the policy. Terms that are defined in the definition sections are emphasized in the policy by italics, boldface, or quotation marks. The third section is the insuring agreement. This part of a policy outlines the parties to the contract, the term of the contract, premium and due dates, limits, the perils insured against, and persons and property to be insured, which are also stated in the declaration. Next, number 4 is the conditions, which state the legal obligations and duties of both the insurer and the insured. In 5th place, we have exclusions, which modify the broad terms of the insuring agreement and state what losses or property are not covered by the policy. Finally, number 6 is the endorsements. These are written amendments added to the policy, which modifies the policy text.
I think I can sum those up. The declaration covers little stuff like who, when, what, and where. The definition section is kind of like a glossary for the policy. The insuring agreement reiterates some of the declaration, but adds more policy specifics like premiums. The conditions are the legal obligations, and the exclusions are what won't be covered. Finally, the endorsements are extras that change the policy.
You got it. Are you ready to start in on the next policies?
Definitely. Let's get going.